heavens and earth. Your gracious Father, we humbly and reverently approach thee this morning, knowing the very soon, O God, you'll take us out of these bodies of death and bring us into the glorious liberty of sons and daughters of God. Be with us this morning, Father, and help us in our preparation for the going home. For we believe, Father, that the shout has gone forth. We believe that the voice of the resurrection has already began because it's begun in us. And now we're waiting to hear that voice, O God, that will bring forth the resurrection of the saints that are past us. Lord, we're just laying in the presence of your Son. We're becoming more mature adults. Not there yet, Father, but we believe we're coming into the image of your Son, Jesus. So we ask you, Father, to help us. Help us as we study the token to understand all of its purposes. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know if I've got any amplification. I don't have the voice. I've been down with strep throat, and my eyes are even bloody red, but I believe I'm healed because I had prayer this morning, Brother Gary, and the Lord answered his prayer for his son, and I believe that he's obligated to answer it for me as well. Amen. On Wednesday night, we spoke from paragraph 169 through 172 of Brother Branham's sermon, The Token, where we spoke on the rainbow covenant that God made with himself. This morning, we're going to pick up and read from paragraph 172 through 174, where Brother Branham speaks of the literal manifesting of the life of the token in our lives. He expects us, Brother Branham says, he expects us also to display his token over our faith. The Satan and all his unbelieving cults and denominations, that we believe that his promise is true, and we will do what he promised to do, there's the church. No wonder you can't get the first base out there, as we call it, excuse the expression. No wonder they don't get nowhere but go back to denomination and make a bunch of dressed up, polished up people, intellectual, educated, never get anywhere, because that's what they display. I am Methodist, they say. I am Presbyterian. That's all they are, but believers take the token. And I'd just like to make a statement here for everyone. Oh, excuse me. And that is this. The Bible says judgment begins in the house of God.
Amen.
This house here is a courtroom. It's higher than the Supreme Court of the United States. Because it was established when the great judge himself came down to Abraham and said, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" So, the Bible says you as brothers will judge the earth. You're going to judge our Supreme Court justices. You're going to judge all the local officials. You're going to judge every person that you come in contact with. You are going to stand or sit in his throne, and you will judge the earth. Now, that's scripture. So I just want you to know that we never, ever want to take our troubles outside of the house of God. And when we do take them before the brethren, I think that's the way it was in the early church. People have a problem with one another, they take it before the church. The church can deal with it, and if the person does not want to change, then they are as heathen and publicans, and they are asked to leave. And that's the way it should be. That's God's word, that's the way God's word works, and I think it causes people then just, you know, they just better shape up. Now, and that's not an editorial, that's the word of God. We allow things to happen because, as I said years ago, we had a couple in church years ago, and he would go to the guys and talk his side of their little problems, and she would go to the girls and talk their side, and it just kept things flowing in the church. And I told the church at that time, and I told this church before, I said, "That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. If you know that there's a problem, that's between that person and that person. You stay out of it. You pray for them, that's it, but stay out of it. And don't you dare share that with anyone else. Because otherwise, there's two sides to every story. Every fight, there's two people involved. Every fuss, there's two people involved. You have to learn to just walk away. You have to teach your children just to walk away. Just if they want to fuss and fight, go out for a walk. Do what you can. But just, that's the way we as Christians have to be. Now, and that's the way, if you have children, then you teach your children to do that. You know, if your children see it in you that you're able to walk away and still hold your head up, not you walk away with your tail between your legs, your head down, but you walk away knowing you're a son of God, and you're not going to allow an atmosphere to interrupt you or your family. And by the way, you can't use physical violence because fight on the devil. It's not the devil you're fighting anyway. It's not the person you're fighting anyway, it's the devil. The devil is doing everything he can to disrupt and to get your eyes off of Christ in this hour. And if your eyes are off of Christ, then he's going to bring more and more and more upon this little congregation, upon the people around the world, and get your eyes off of Christ. He wants you to get your eyes off of Christ. Like Peter got his eyes off of Christ, he got his eyes on the conflict of the waves that were bashing up against him. He should have realized, look, I'm still on top of the water, even though it's bashing against my legs. Hallelujah. I got my eyes on Jesus and him alone. In that dream that Billy Paul had, that Brother Bram tells us, that big planet or whatever it was, it was coming down a mountain cut out without hands. He quotes Daniel 7, Brother Branham does. And he tells Billy Paul in the dream, get your eyes off of that. And get your eyes, just get, he said, pray, get your eyes off of it. We are coming to a time where we need to be praying more than we have ever prayed before. And if we're not, they would think that we can handle it ourselves. God will let you know you can't. He's going to show you what a failure you really are. Now, paragraph 173. And what Jesus began to do in Galilee, he continues to do now. Through his display of the token of the Holy Spirit back upon the church. For it was not the acts of the apostles, it was the acts of the Holy Ghost in the apostles. And that was a token. They said they had to take heed to Peter and John, as they passed through the gate called Beautiful, seeing that they were ignorant. You see, it's okay to be ignorant. It's okay to be unlearned. There's no shame if you can't read. There's no shame if you're ignorant. As long as you got the Holy Ghost, that's the only thing that God's looking for. Amen. Do you have the Holy Ghost? Well, no, but I got my baccalaureate. So what? You're going to hell.
Yeah, that's right.
Because if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're going to hell. Period. He that has not Christ is none of his. If you're none of his, that's it. You pray for your children that they get the Holy Ghost when they're this little. Pray. Pray that if they're in the womb, you pray that they get the Holy Ghost, they come forth with the Holy Ghost, like John did, like Jesus did. I believe that God is sovereign. He can give the Holy Ghost to whoever he wants to and whenever he wants to. Because he'll give it to his seed. For it was not the acts of the apostles. It was the acts of the Holy Ghost in the apostles, and that was a token. They said they had to take heed to Peter and John as they passed through the gate called Beautiful, seeing that they were ignorant. They might say, well, hit, hang, tote, fetch, carry. I'll tell you about this. See, they might have had all kinds of grammar that they couldn't understand. You know what? They're going to be there. I could name names as far as all the professors I worked with. They ain't going to be there. They ain't got the Holy Ghost. They might have their grammar just so perfect and everything else. Phooey. They might have had all kinds of grammar that they couldn't understand. They might have had know the difference, all the mathematics of the scripture, but they had to notice that they had been with Jesus. They had displayed that token, that life. Because the same spirit that was upon him before his crucifixion was now upon them after the resurrection. Amen. Now, when Brother Graham speaks using the word display, he's talking about manifesting the life of the token and it being openly displayed or manifested. Then that makes him Hebrews 13:8, Brother Branham says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's how we know that he lives, because why? How do we know we live? Because he lives. And because we know that we live is because we're like him and we're in him. And he said, because I live, you live also. And I am he, in Revelation, that was dead and alive forevermore. And if we die to ourselves, and that's always been the key, and that's the one thing that I want you people to learn more than anything else, is how to get out of the way and die to yourself. And become alive in him. We're alive forevermore. And then his life in us is just like the life of anything else. It displays what he was. And that makes him the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know what it does? If you have him that was is the same yesterday, today, and forever living in you, then you become constant. You're not going to be flaky. You're not going to be vacillating back and forth. You're going to be consistent. Your life will be straightforward. Your eyes are fixed on the end of the road. You're going to be stable, stable, stable. Now, how can anyone deny that? Don't just eat dead words. Serve the living God by the eternal. I mean the everlasting covenant of the life that was in the blood of Jesus Christ. Now going on to the end, I wish. Display the token of his grace and his love. Now, without this token of life. You know, I've seen too much in this message. And in Christian churches, where husbands and wives don't get along with each other. They get along with everybody else. They talk polite to everybody else. But when it comes to their own husband, they talk down. They use words, demeaning words. And you know what, sisters? You're going to have to answer. And you husbands, you will have to answer to God. That's why, as I say, judgment begins in the house of God. And let me tell you something. Brother Branham said, your pastor will stand as your judge at that day. And he knows the ins and outs. And I'll have to stand before William Branham as a pastor of this age. And it's time that we begin to understand this is the courtroom. And we're being judged now so that we don't have to be judged over there. So we don't run outside of this courtroom and gab, 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 gab. Oh, my husband did this. Oh, my husband did this. Well, what did you do to your husband to cause him to do what he did to you? There's two sides to every story, and they're both wrong. Both wrong. Always, when there's a fuss, there's wrong in both sides. So let me just say this. If your life is so impeccable, you'll have the whole world against you, but those that know Christ will be for you. Now, let me just take one thought from what Brother Branham says in several paragraphs that we read this morning. That is, if we die to ourselves and become alive in him, we're alive forevermore. And then his life in us is just like the life of anything else. It displays what he was. Now, we know that speaks of Genesis 1:11, which deals with the law of life, or the law of reproduction, where every seed must bring forth an expression of the life that is in the seed, and that came forth from the original seed. That's what Scripture says. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herbs, and seed, and the fruit-yielding seed, fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself, upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herbs, and yielded seed after his kind. And the trees yielded fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God said that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the third day. God's word said it, and it happens. I take this Bible literally. From concerning the Son of God life, we see the same law in effect spoken of in Hebrews 1:3. It says, who being the brightness of his glory, and the expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Now we see the same principle applied to us as sons of God. In Acts 17:28 says, For in him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being, for we are his offspring. That means that we can't even breathe without him breathing for us. Because we are his expression. We are his offspring. Therefore, we're talking about a projecting forth into manifestation. Just as the scripture declares a projection of God's life into the body of his son Jesus, as we read in Hebrews 1:4. In which we see that the body of the Son of God became the very expressed image of the invisible God in a man. Now notice the word in Hebrews 1:3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person. Now first of all, let's look at this word expressed image. It says he is the expressed image of his person. Now this word expressed means to set forth. It means to manifest. It means to show forth. It means to make known. It means to convey a representation. It means to represent or to squeeze or press out. Why do you think we're going to need to squeeze? Because it's going to bring into manifestation. To send by special messenger and in genetics. It means to cause, to produce an effect. Used of the gene, it means the gene expressed itself. To manifest the effects of a gene. The people who inherit the gene express it, to manifest a genetic trait. All in the study express the trait or the nature. And it is interesting that in our dictionary, over half of the definitions concerning the word express have to deal with genetics expressing or inherited traits or nature. So we see in Hebrews 1:3, we're told of Jesus in reference to God his Father, that he is the expressed image of his person. In other words, in all the DNA and all the genetics, he was exactly the expression, the display. As Brother Matt said, you got to display the token. If you got the token, you got the DNA of God in you. Now express it, he said. Display it. You see, Jesus is the express image of God, his Father's person. And as I mentioned before, this word person that Jesus is the express image of, we all know that it speaks of God himself, his Father. Yet in Hebrews 11:1, Paul used the same Greek word, hypostasis, when he said, now faith is the substance. Hypostasis. Faith is the person. It's the same word that was used of Jesus expressing the exact image of the Father, the person. Faith is the person of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. And if our desire would be to have his expressed person in us, expressing in us, you see, then that's eternity right there. Brother Brown said, you have enough deity in you to create the universe all over again. In 2 John 9 we read, thank you. In 2 John 9 we read, if you do not have the doctrine of Christ, you do not have God. And therefore, God, who is the Holy Ghost, is what we hope for. He is the substance of what we hope for. He is the evidence of what we do not see, taste, feel, smell, or hear. But we know that he's there because that sixth sense in us is telling us he's in control. Because he is the invisible and he is the immortal King. And so we see that Jesus was projected from the mind of God into physical substance as a person to represent the person, in order to reflect the very nature of God to the lost and dying world. From a sermon identification, Brother Graham said, but when we see that his creation had fallen, or when he seen that his creation had fallen, now his own loving character molded himself into the person of Christ, God's own character of love projected himself in the man, Christ. As Paul's speaking here, thinking not robbery, but making himself equal to God, rather, see, his own character molded that kind of a person. No one could ever do that but God. Amen. And you know what? He wants to do it in you as well. He wants that same person expressed, himself expressed in you. And you know what? You can do it. You know why? You're ordained to do it.
That's right.
And his brother Branson certainly was in Jesus. Now, Jesus was born for what purpose? And that was for God to manifest himself through that body. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. He was a body that was made physical, that men and women could see what he thought, and his expression to the people in his gratefulness and his attitude towards all mankind. He expressed it through Christ. Christ seemed to be a dual personality. He would speak sometimes and they scratched their heads and they didn't understand him. He speak one thing one time, looked like, and something another time. What it was Jesus speaking and then Christ speaking. Jesus was the man, Christ was the God that was in him. Not me that doeth the works, but my Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. See, God will not share his glory with no one. Now, if we are to come into the exact image of Christ, then we came into this world for one purpose as well. Only we don't think it is. We think, well, I came into this purpose to be a carpenter. Or I came into this purpose. I came into this world, you know, to be a great football player. Or I came into this world to be a lawyer or a doctor or whatever. Hogwash. That might be your avocation. That might be your vocation. But your avocation is you came in here to this world to express the image of the Father. It's time we put priorities right. You see, that is exactly what the Apostle John said in 1 John 1 and 1. That which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we've seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we've seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Notice, that which we have seen and heard, we declare. How do we declare? By living the sermon. Living that life. So whatever we say, whatever we do, that you would see Christ. Paul said, I want to see nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. So see the literal source of life live itself out in men in the body of the Son. God expressing himself in the Son. And Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father also. Why? Because he was so one with God that all he did was what the Father showed him to do. He said, the Father worketh and the Son worketh hitherto. Now, Brother Bram said in the sermon, Christ is identified the same. He said, he was a manifestation of God. He was God in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. He was expressing what the Father was in himself. He said, I do always that which pleases the Father, and I and the Father are one. The Father dwells in me. And when you see me, you see the Father. In other words, he expressed God. The Spirit was so much in him that he and the Father, it wasn't robbery for him to be the same person. Listen, people thought Brother Branham was God because he was so much like him. He had died so much to William Branham and who William Branham was that people only saw Christ. And listen, you say, well, yeah, but he was ordained to be that way. No, God beat the snot out of him until he submitted himself. You want the snot beat out of you? Go ahead and keep living the way you are. Or just yield yourself and let him take over. Now you think, how could two beings be one? How could another person become the other person? How could that be? Well, Brother Bam also taught us, if you have the spirit of Dillinger in you, you'll rob banks. If you have the spirit of Beethoven in you, you'll create music. So if you have the spirit of God in you, you'll do the works of God. Because we are three parts of our being. And we are a three-part being, and two parts of our being are spirit. You got spirit and soul. The outer flesh is just a mask. It's just a vessel for our spirit and soul to dwell in, to live in, to express themselves in. Therefore, if we are born again, and God's very own life is growing up within us, then should not that spirit act out its own nature in this flesh? Should not the very nature of the life that is taking over our vessel project the nature through your vessel? In his sermon, identification, Brother Branham said, now we notice that If you were in that day, what group would you be identified with? With the prophet, with the vindicated word, although they were in the minority? Or would you be with the popular opinion folks? Well, I tell you, I believe that man's crazy. And the only way that you'd ever know that he wasn't crazy is for the same God to reveal to you the same thing that he revealed to Moses. And the only way that they'll ever be able to see the image of God and the Son, ever be able to be the images of God and the sons of God, is for God to reveal to us and express himself through his word to us and us to the world. That's the only channel. For God was the image here on earth that you could see God in man, express image of God, because God was in him so much that they were one. And now when Christ left, he sanctified the church that the church might take his place and express the word of God. See, that's the only way it can be done. Oh my. Would you be with the popular folks who had the popular opinion? As long as I belong to church, and maybe because I dance in the spirit, I'm all right. Or maybe because I spoke in tongues, I'm all right. Or maybe we got a good pastor, so I'm all right. Now, those things are loyal. I have nothing to say against it. That's true. But this plan of salvation is an individual affair with you. Speaking in tongues is a gift of God, dancing in the spirit, and is the presence and glory of God. For you to let your character be molded into the image of God, that he would project himself, and you are his idol walking on the earth, the express image of him. Now, would you be willing to do that in the days of Noah? Or would you have been on the critical side, criticizing both the prophet and his God sent message? Now, think of it. Which side would you think in your present estate now would you took? Now, be honest, and pardon me, there's no need in me trying to say it. You got to think it yourself. You see, too many people want others to think for them. In the world, you got people wanting the government to do the thinking. Government, you know, from cradle to grave. And in the churches, they want their pastor, or they want their teacher, or they want their prophet. Well, I got a good prophet. You know, he was a man of God. I could really see that. Well, what about you? What about you? Nobody's going in on William Branch's hotel. Nobody's going in on Brother Bell's hotel. In fact, he prayed that, you know, that he would make it himself. Even the Apostle Paul said, lest I be a castaway. So you ain't going to go in on no man's hotel. You're going to go in because you got the Holy Ghost. The same Holy Ghost that was in Jesus is in you and quickened you. That's it. So see that God wants to project his very life, his very nature into you through your vessel, as he did through his own son Jesus. In fact, Brother Brown said that God had a threefold purpose. First, project himself through his son, then his other children, he calls the church, and then finally, to fellowship with us, like he did in Adam back in the Garden of Eden before the fall. From Christ of the mystery, he said, now that's when he can express his preeminence, see? He's got the manner of the person so that he knows nothing but Christ. Oh, but I've got algebra. I've got, you know, forget it. I'd rather this church be so stupid as far as everything else, but just so full of wisdom of Christ than anything else. When you get together, you love each other. You ever notice even children that are born with water, you know, water damage, you get the water hits? They don't fuss with people. They're happy all the time. Well, that's the way God's children ought to be. We know where we came from. We know where we're going. And we know who's holding our hand while we're going. So what are we fussing about? What are we negative about? Listen, God puts you people together for a purpose. Brother Graham said, God puts every husband and wife for a purpose, that you knock the nubs off of you knock the pricklies off the person. And we want to do it a different way. We want to say, well, I want that person to comply to me, says the wife, or says the husband. And God says, no, no, no. I want you to comply to my word. My word is preeminent. That's why I've said many times, is that I've told my children since they were just little children, if you see mom or dad saying anything that's contrary to this Bible, come with your Bible and show us, and we'll have to shut up and listen to that word. That's the word of God. It takes preeminence in this church. It takes preeminence in this city. It takes preeminence in the nation. God is the judge. God is on the scene. His word. He Jesus said, my word will judge in the last days. And it's far above any holding of any local magistrate, any local judge, any supreme judge. I don't care who they are. If it's contrary to the word of God, let it be. Just let it go. It's not for you. They can do what they did to the woman down there in Kentucky, throw her in jail. Listen. She don't even have this great message to stand for, and yet she's taking a stand against all the homosexuals. You know, those people down that went down there to get their certificate, they came from up here in Ohio. She should have said, I'm sorry, you're out of county. Go get it in your own county. She had a right to do that. You're out of state. Go to your own state. No. You can't say that to a homosexual. Yes, you can. They're going to hell. Homosexuals are going to hell. It says so in the Bible. Why are you afraid to say those things? Why are you afraid? Are you politically correct? Well, we shouldn't talk that way because you might offend somebody. Yeah, and it offends God when you don't talk that way. He said in his Bible, are you going to quote him or are you going to quote some Hillary Clinton? I'm going to tell you something. I don't know one politician who's going to make it to heaven. Not a one of them. So don't put your trust in any of them. This nation was through in 1956, so don't put your trust in this nation. It's proven itself to be the biggest, largest terrorist organization in the world's history. Funding terrorism, $150 billion going to a terrorist nation like Iran. And this country is sending its little drones killing people, innocent people, all over the world. Millions of them. Oh, but you know what? We want a democracy. You don't want a democracy. You want totalitarianism. And they will answer, and I will be their judge, and you will be their judge. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to that day. From Christ in mystery, first to express himself in Christ, and then express himself through the church, and the same thing, Christ was the Word. And the church becomes the Word when it lets the Word go through them. But when they accept the hybrid denomination, how can the Word go through it? It's grounded. Then it causes a short and it blows a fuse, see? But when the current is flowing freely, the word of God, it expresses itself. The works that I do shall you do also. And in the last days it shall come to pass, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet, and he shall turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers and faith of the fathers. And in there, there'd be a time come forth when he could express himself in fullness of his Godhead deity through his church, have the preeminence in this church. Oh my, what? The anointed man. Now the anointed people. Oh my. To bring back the anointed bride and bridegroom, anointed by what? Accepting what Eve turned down, and Adam coming back with the anointing of the Word. Because he said, my Word is Spirit. See, anointed with the Word, what Eve turned down, he comes back and we accept. And you know what? He has come back. We've got the picture over there. And he's brought his Word with him. His shout. Sorry you have to put it through this, but I do. So you can join me. Shalom, shalom. He said, no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten of the Father has declared it. See? In other words, God was identified. The person of God was identified in the body, the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was the express image of God, or God expressing himself through an image. See? Through an image. Man. God expressed himself to us, and he was God. Not a third person or a second person. He was the person God. He was God himself, identifying himself so that we could feel him. And as I was with Moses, Brother Master, when Jesus of Nazareth, I believe that the Father was in him, and that all the great things that was the Father's was given unto his Son, all the great blessings and gifts, for he was just expressed image of the Father, and in him dwelled all the richness of God dwelling in him here. Now look it up. And he said, I and my Father are one. My Father dwelleth in me. Just what Jehovah was, Jesus was. He was the express image of him. He was God shaped out here, and all the powers of God formed into and put in a human body. And he said, it's not me that doeth the works, it's my Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Now, from the spoken word's original seed, paragraph 21-22, Brother Brown is telling us, he said, every seed must come forth or express the nature of its kind. And we know he's talking about the Son of God coming forth or being projected as the very image of his Father. But in paragraph 23, he tells us that the Word of God keeps on going and on and on and on. And if he tells us that God has other seeds, he also tells us God has other seeds that must come forth and be projected into the same image, reflecting the same nature. So that's why we have the promises of being conformed to the image of the firstborn Son, of being adopted, because you can't be adopted until you're pleasing to the Father, and be manifested as sons of God. We have all these promises for us, and we just sit back and say, oh, that's good, it'll be on the other side. No, it won't be. And if you're waiting for the other side, you won't be there expressing it. It takes place this side of the resurrection. From identification, he said, now, therefore, his loving character of love over us, it makes plain, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have eternal life. God projected himself and become a man that he might have upon him the form of his creation. In other words, he changed his tent. He spread it out amongst human beings. And the infant Jehovah, crying in the manger, could you imagine? It ought to alarm the hearts of believers, and that was all done. Could you imagine Jehovah being a baby in a manger in a stable of manure? Could you imagine that? Could you imagine little Jehovah playing as a boy? It's an example. Could you imagine him as a teenager? Could you imagine in a carpenter shop? And could you imagine him in such complete obedience to God, dying on the cross to redeem his fallen creation? That's the kind of love that God had, and he had to become that in order to die to hold the sting of death. As I've said many times, Jesus had to die in Gethsemane in order for him to die on the cross. He died to himself in Gethsemane, then he died for you and I. You have to die to yourself before you can die for others. Well, Christ's mystery said God is not known by education. He's not known by how to explain it. God is known by simplicity and the revelation of Jesus Christ in the most illiterate person. See, it's not your theology, it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. Upon this rock I'll build my church. No other rocks accepted, no other things accepted, no other Roman rock, no other Protestant rock, no other school, no other nothing, but on exactly the revelation of Jesus Christ in a new birth. He, born in there, and injects his own life, and your life is gone. And the life of Christ is projecting itself through you, and the preeminence to the people that they see the very light, the works, and signs and wonders that he did, he's doing the same thing through you. Outside of that, the rest of it is not even called to at all. You know that. And all you got to do is listen to all Brother Brown's sermons, and you'll find almost every sermon he's talking about that. Signs and wonders, signs and wonders, signs and wonders. Proving the presence of God in your midst. I'm waiting for John 16 to kick. I mean Mark 16 to kick in while I'm preaching.
Sure.
And who is, and in his sermon? Who is the snuff candidate? Brother Bram spoke of projecting God's life into his Son and called it enmorph. And now the Greek word enmorph, he says, it means that he changed his mask, and that's what God did. It's the same God all the time. God in the form of the Father, Spirit, the pillar of fire, the same God was made flesh and dwelt among us, and more, brought out so he could be seen. Now, the Vine's Greek dictionary tells us the meaning of enmorph is, number one, the form in, by which a person or thing strikes the vision, external appearance. Now, I like that because faith is the person. And Jesus was the exact expression of the person. And morph is the form by which the person strikes the vision. In other words, you see this up here. It's striking the vision. It's coming from here. And when Paul says, I see nothing but Jesus Christ among you and him crucified, he's saying, you are like a white background in which the Word of God is imprinted on you. Your life is open. It's open. And it's only reflecting God's life. Now, what does he mean to strike the vision? It means, as you see on this wall before service, we have just a blank wall. But when I turn on this computer system here, the light strikes the wall, and the vision that is in the light strikes the wall, projecting to you the image that's in the light. And if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, and all this is light. All this is ion. It's on and off is data. And you're seeing light. And you're seeing more light off the white than you are off the black. Because that's reflection. Black doesn't reflect so well. But when I turn on this projector, the light strikes the wall, etc. And if you walk in the light, as he is the light, you have fellowship one with another, and fellowship with two fellows in the same ship, and you and God are walking hand in hand like Enoch did. And if you are truly walking in the light, then you and he become the self same person. You become the reflection of him. His vision through the conduit of his light strikes you, and you reflect him. Then it is no longer you that are living, but Christ is living in you. You are crucified to yourself, but nevertheless you're still living. It is not you, your life that's living, but Christ's life, Christ living, and expressing himself through you. And the life that you are now living in the flesh, you are living by the faith of the Son of God, whose faith is living itself out in you, in your life, for you, in you, and through you. And his faith was this: Father, I know that you'll raise me up. I know that you'll take me out of the grave. Therefore, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. I know that all things are going to work together for the good of those who are the called, those who love you, and those who are the called according to your purpose. I know it. I can't, maybe sometimes I can't see it. Right now I can't see it in front of me, but I know if I got my eyes on the end of the road, I'll be there. I'll be in that New Jerusalem. I won't be outside the city. I'll be in the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And all my offspring with me. And in 1 John 3 and 2 we read, Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Not waiting for the millennium. Not waiting for the resurrection. Now we are the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, at his appearing, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he truly is. And every man that has his hope in him begins to purify himself. Begins to sanctify himself. Even as he is pure. Because we're conforming to the image. Then if we believe that when he appears we are to be like him, then wouldn't that create an atmosphere around you like he had? It did with Brother Branham, because he was a yielded and obedient son. Why then are we not seeing the same thing among the churches today? Shouldn't we have the same atmosphere in our homes as we do in this church, which is his house of prayer? From Ephesians 3:20, Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, to the power that worketh in us. And that word worketh is translated from the Greek word energio, and it means to display one's activity, to effectively work, and it speaks of the energies of the one doing the work. Another thing the Holy Spirit put in my heart right now, I'm just going to say it. You women are a product of today's society. You're not a product of the Word. You should be a product of the Word. But when you talk back to your husbands, when you call your husband's names, when you try to take charge, you've got a woman spirit on you. You don't got the Holy Spirit leading. You read what the Bible says a woman is to be. She's to be soft and gentle. She's not to be hard and brutal. And it's a brutish spirit on the women today. Just look at Hillary Clinton. She's your idol if you're acting that way. Now, you may not say so. You may say, she's disgusting. Well, then you're disgusting. And I'm saying these words hard because, I had a nice talk with Brother Collins. He said the same thing. So the women today, he said, they're not expressing what the Bible said they're supposed to be expressing, soft and gentle. Sweet, that sweet spirit. They're expressing a take charge, know-it-all spirit. Just look at it. The women have the educations. The women have the great jobs. The men are reduced in this society today to manual work. Menial work. And if you're not careful, sisters, though you have a good education, If you use that education to look down upon your husband, you're in sin. You're in sin. The problem is, men don't understand how to deal with it. There's a Bible that shows you how to deal with it. You become so full of Christ. Don't give her things to pick at. You just live your life before Christ. And she shouldn't be picking. She'd say, "Honey, what can I do to help you? I'm your helpmate." The whole world has gone that way. Almost every country. The women have the doctor's degrees, the lawyer degrees, they have the intellectual degrees. And the women are looking down upon their husbands. Even though, look, in some cases, the husband may be making more money than the woman does, because there's a high demand for menial work, because nobody wants to do it. But she still looks down upon him. That's wrong, sisters. Education don't mean squat to God. Doesn't mean a thing to God. It does to this world. So if this world means more to you than God does, then wear it with pride. But you're not going to wear it with pride in heaven. It's about time to start thinking heavenly thoughts. So our predestination comes from God's own purpose. It's being predestined according to the purpose of Him, it says. God's own purpose, in which He worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. And this word worketh is also the Greek word energeo. And it means to show forth oneself. Therefore, it is the expression of the one who is doing the work. It is an effectual, fervent effort on behalf of the one it is directed towards. So you see, then it's not you doing the work at all, but just getting out of the way and letting Christ live out your life. Just like you sisters, I know in today's society, many of you have to work. It wasn't God's purpose for you to have to, but in the society in which you live, they've made it that way. Don't let it go to your head. You and your husband, it's a team. You're working together to raise your children for the purpose of serving God and making it to the other side, where you won't have to put up with all these pressures for you to conform to this ungodly society. Now, you might ask, how can I get myself so out of the picture that God can live my life for me? Well, first of all, He is the Word and He is love. Now, Jesus said, "Spirit and truth, and my word, He said, is spirit and life." So the life must be governed by the Spirit and all in accordance to God's Word. That is the governing agent or the boundaries that we have in living this life, is that God's Word is our conduit. And as long as the life is living itself out within the conduit of the Word, then we know that it is God's life. Now look, we have people who are very legal and they say the Word, the Word, the Word. And then we have those who are very charismatic and they say the Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit. And yet they're both wrong. It is the Spirit governed by the Word. Jesus said it must be both Word and Spirit, Spirit and truth. And what governs the Word? Love. What should be governing our lives? Love. What should be governing a marriage? Love. What should be governing your correction of your children? Love. Not hate. Not, "Oh, they spoil my dinner." Not, "Oh, I'm gonna get even with those kids." No. Love. How can I take and change my child so he doesn't do this thing that he's doing, so that he can understand that it's not good to be done? Not, "Oh, slap the kid across the head. Slap the kid. You know, just take care of it. I'll just beat it out of it." No, you won't. Or God will beat you. Don't ever, ever, ever try to be a Christian and mean-spirited, because it's not in God's taste at all. What governs the Word? Love. For God is love. The Word without love is legalistic. And Brother Branham said in demonology, religion, he said the religious spirit is the worst demon that he ever had to deal with. The worst. So I don't care how religious you are, God hates religion. I hate religion. You won't get brownie points with me by being religious. Just fall in love with Jesus. Love without the Word is a danger. It's danger of lust. But God is both the Word and love, and He is the life. So our life molded by His Word and governed by His love, not ours. Galatians 5 and 6, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Notice Paul tells us again that our faith worketh by love. The word for worketh is the Greek word energeo, and it means energized. Our faith is energized by love. From personal experience with God, Brother, I said, okay, we say we have faith and we have love. But if we had love, we'd have faith. For that is perfect love casteth out all fear. And when fear is gone, faith is perfect. The Apostle Paul said, our faith worketh by love. Therefore, we must first have love in order to bring forth our faith. Now, from wisdom versus faith, Brother Brown said, the disciples had it sowed into them. Then the Spirit came to energize that word. See, no, not by power, not by might, not by wisdom, not by understanding, not by this, not by that, but by my Spirit, I will energize my word. My Spirit, says the Lord. It's the water of the word of faith that energizes the word of God and makes it work. Okay. In 1 Thessalonians 1, in verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love and your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Now notice Paul speaks of the work of faith and the labor of love and the patience of hope. Now the word of means out from. It shows source. And therefore we can read it as your works which spring forth or spring out from your faith, and your labor which comes forth as a result of love, etc. It is love which produces it. Love, then, is an energizing power. All you got to do is look at a person that falls in love. Boy, he's got energy like he never had before. Now, reading from the Weiss translation, we better get appreciation. We get a better appreciation for the scripture. It says, remembering unceasingly your works that are produced and characterized by the faith which is yours, and your toil, which is motivated and characterized by your divine and self-sacrificial love, and your patient endurance under trial, which finds its source in your hope, which rests in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of God, even our Father. So notice he said, even it's your love that motivates and characterizes your faith. Notice what Paul tells us, the same church in Thessalonica, several years later, when he writes to them, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Paul said, faith is growing, and it is showing in the way that you treat one another. Now listen. Everybody knows when they look at a couple, everybody knows if they're in love. And everybody knows if they're not. And shame on you if they look upon you and they know you're not in love with your spouse. And my challenge to every one of you is learn to love. And you learn to love by getting your eyes off yourself and your eyes on what can I do to make my spouse's life better than it is right now. From investments, Brother Ann said, Jesus Christ was the express image of God. He was what God, through His power, projected, a body which was called Son because He was a man and He come from God. And He was so committed to God till He didn't think it robbery that Him and God being the same person, and they were, because God was the Word and He was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and there's where God could take His Word without anything or any interruption. He was constantly doing what the Father wanted done. And there the Word could work through Him there until Him and the Father was one. And then He took that perfect life and all of our sins and placed it upon that perfect life. And He died that we renegades could die to ourselves. and be born above, and his word could work through us the works of God. Notice, it's not about us, and it's about him, and about living for others. Eternal life is living for others. Now remember, we have read several quotes already where Brother Branham himself is quoting from this very verse of Scripture, and he says, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, to become the self-same person. Now in order to become the same person, right there it shows he was not the same person to begin with. After all, we read in the book of Acts 2:36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. So if God made him Lord, and God made him Christ, then he wasn't that to begin with. Now in his sermon, Supersigned, Brother Branham said, now let me tell you, anything outside of being born again will never reach the rapture. Unless there is a germ of life inside of you, you'll perish. You cannot rise up again. And so I hope that you will understand why I constantly bring those things to your attention. Because after all, we will all have to give account of what we have done with this great message that God has given to us. You know, when you look out amongst the members of the message churches, and if you're not seeing Christ, that person is a detriment to the message. They shouldn't claim it. They're actually doing more damage. And that's why the outside world looks on the inside. They see all these fussing and everything else going on. Who needs it? That's right, who needs it? Brother Branham says, because after all, we will have to give an account of what we have done with this great message that God has given us. Every one of us, both small and great, we will have to give an account for what we have done in our bodies. From contending for the faith. Then notice Jesus said, as soon as this was done, he said to them, listen at his words, St. John 5:19, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing in himself, but what he sees the Father do. Whatsoever the Father doeth, he showeth the Son. Is that right? Read it when you go home, the 5th chapter of St. John 5. I can't do nothing in myself. He didn't tell, did he tell the truth? He had to tell the truth. In order to be God, he had to tell the truth. His words were infallible. He said, I can do nothing in myself. Therefore, he didn't heal one person in himself. He said, the Father shows me first by a vision what to do, then I go do it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, John 5:19, the Son can do nothing in himself. But what he sees the Father do, that's your vision, that doeth the Son likewise. The Father worketh, and I worketh hitherto. Now then, the question you must surely be thinking at this time is this. Is then how do I become so one with God that his life comes into me to take over my life? How can I get out of the way so that his life itself lives itself out in me? And the only way that you can do that is by his grace. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith. Now, remember, faith is a revelation, something revealed to you. So we're justified by the revelation, and thus we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But in also we have access by faith. Notice that revelation gives us access into this grace. So what is this grace? Wherein we now stand? Well, notice it continues, and rejoice in hope, earnest expectation of the glory, of the dopes of God, the opinion, values, and judgment of God. And not only so, but with glory, that's not doxa, it's kauchami, meaning to boast. We boast in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Now, when it says patience, brings forth experience, you know, the word experience is actually translated in many of the Bible translations as character. Patience brings forth character. And character brings forth an earnest expectation. Our earnest expectation makes us not ashamed, and our earnest expectation comes out of faith. For there remaineth faith, hope, and love, and the grace of these is love. Faith is revelation. Hope is the earnest expectation that comes forth from the revelation, because if you truly have something revealed to you, then you cannot help but to earnestly expect it to produce what it says. And then when you earnestly expect, then you are not ashamed, and that expectation builds up an energy, and that energy cannot but begin to give of itself, and that is what love is. It's an outward expression of the revelation put into action by the energy produced by the revelation coming forth into expectation. How can we have the mind of God unless we have the Spirit? And that's what Revelation is all about. God is the Word, so He imparts to us His Word by revealing it to us. And as He imparts to us His Word, He's imparting to us Himself, His Spirit. By words of Spirit, they're truth, they're life. From Christ to the mystery, so the new birth is Christ. It's a revelation. God has revealed to you this great mystery, and that's the new birth. Now, what are you going to do when you get all that group together where the revelation is perfectly in harmony and God expressing it through His Word by the same actions, the same things that He did, making the Word manifest? Oh, if the church only knew its position, and it will one day, then the rapture will go when it knows what it is. Now, notice you say, Brother Brown, but that, oh, yes, it is. It is the truth, and I'm telling you, don't miss it. Don't miss it, because you miss it, you're going to go through pure hell on earth. Tribulations. You know, you're going to have the government after you. You're going to have your neighbor after you. You're going to have the heavens after you. What I mean is there's going to be wormwood and all these other things coming down. You're going to have plagues. You're going to have everything, says Deuteronomy. You're going to get it. Why? Because you loved yourself too much to get the Holy Ghost. You loved yourself too much to die to yourself and let the Holy Ghost live your life for you. Why do you think I go to these bug-infested, hot and sweaty, disease-infected places that you've never heard of to teach the doctrine of Christ? Because I know that when the church knows its position, He said, we're going to go home one day. From Christ the mystery, He said, look, Christ in you makes Him, not you, makes Him the center of the life of the revelation. See, Christ's life in you makes Him the center of the revelation. Christ in the Bible makes the Bible the complete revelation of Christ. Christ in you makes you the complete revelation of the whole thing. See what God's trying to do? What is a new birth then? You say, well, Brother Brown, what is a new birth? It is the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Amen. See, not you joined a church, you shook a hand, you done something different, like, oh, I heard somebody preach on tapes, and so I got the Holy Ghost, because that's my experience. Hogwash, that's no experience. It's Christ living your life for you. That's the experience He's talking about. You set a creed, a doctrine. You promised to live by a code of rules. But Christ, the Bible, He is the Word that was revealed to you. And no matter what anybody says, what takes place is Christ. Pastor, priest, whatever it might be, is Christ in you. That is the revelation that the church was to be built upon. 1 Corinthians 2:11 tells us, for what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man that's in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knows. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So in other words, look, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you haven't even got to first base. You don't even understand the Bible. You don't understand the message. You think you do. You think your intellect can reason these things out. Forget it. It's like, I get emails all the time, brothers. Well, what are the three things that, in the seals? And what is this and that? And, and it's all just, hey, maybe I found a mystery that nobody else has unlocked. Maybe I found something that nobody else knows about. Well, goodbye. I'm sorry, I'm not interested in all these mysteries. The mysteries have already been laid out. The seven thunders, Brother Anson, are in the seals. Read the seals. That's where you're going to get them. Because each thunder was a seal. Good grief. Everybody wants to have some mastery over, oh, I found this over here. It's a little, you don't know about it. Oh, I do. I'm really somebody. You're not. I just want to be like Jesus. I'm sorry, but I just want to go to heaven. I want to take my place in the New Jerusalem. I could care less about popularity. I could care less about money and women. Get me out of here. Just get me out of here. I want to get out of this pest house. I want to go home. So we got to get 10 of you together, have the same mind, which is the mind of Christ, not my mind, His mind. I'm just praying we got enough in here that maybe somehow that those words of the prophet will be manifested. We get 10 together, we'll go home. So you see, God wants to place His mind, His thoughts in you so that you'll live. From contending for the faith, he said, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. You can't understand it. It's a mystical thing until you're born again. There's the very life of God comes into you, everlasting, eternal life, Zoe. God's own life comes in you, and then you're a part of God. You're a son or daughter of God, and then you see as God sees, and you believe as God believes, and that's all I want. Help me, Father, to see what you see. Help me, Father, to believe like you believe. So how is that possible? Because you have the mind of Christ, because you have the Spirit of God living in you. From the old, it stands at the door, he says, we become so earthbound with our finite way of thinking to his great infinite mind, that we just get one little course set up, and we feel like that we're just going fine. But if we could only look and see as God sees, how much different things would look and be to us. You know, we have people who, they go through the trial, they go through the same trial over and over again. Then they get into a place where maybe that trial, because of something happens, and that trial, they don't have the trial no more because they don't have they don't have the scene. They put themselves out of the scene. And now, Lord, I know I've overcome. I finally have died to myself. I said, you won't know if you've died to yourself till you're back in that same trial again. See how you handle it. That's right. That's why Jesus prayed as he did in John 17. He said, and now I am nowhere in the world, but these are in the world, and I come unto thee, Holy Father. Keep through thy own name those whom thou hast given to me, that they may be one as we are one. John 7:14. I've given them thy word, and the world hateth them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Jesus tells us that we become one with God through the same word that he became one with God. And we find in John 17:20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which believeth on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. So you sisters, when you're looking for your clothes, and you try it on, and it comes down to your knees, or just a few inches below, ask yourself, is this God's value, or is this the world's value? Come on. Are you a legalist? Will you take a tape measure? I think some of you are. Put it down where it's modest. That's what the Bible says. She's to live modestly, not how close you can get to the edge. To where, well, it's below my knee. Well, sit down, sister. Sit down. Is it still 4 inches or 5 inches below your knee so that it can't look up your legs when you're sitting? That's how you know. Well, Sister Mina wore hers down to her mid-calf. Fine, wear yours to your mid-calf, not to your knees. As Brother Bell told a certain sister, she said, how high should the heels on a woman be? He put his hand out on the table like that. That high. In other words, that high. You know what she did? She told another sister, that high. Every man knows that when a woman wears heels, it puts her butt up in a suggestive position. I'm sorry to use those words in the pulpit, but it's time that you get godly, not worldly. It's time that you go through your shelves and start throwing away, and I hate to speak so vulgar, it's time you start looking godly from within and without. You look godly in the bedroom. Look godly in the house. Look godly when you go to work. Look godly when you go to shopping. And as Brother Brown said, the people said, well, you know what? That's all they sell. This, and he said, you got sewing machines that still sell goods. Joanne Fabrics is still open, is it? Yeah. Joanne Fabrics is still open, and she'll tell you where they're at. It's about time you start learning to sew again. It's about time you start looking like you're going to look in the New Jerusalem. Because if you do, then you got the spirit of him, because it changes not. Now, you're not going to say, well, I'll change when I get there. You won't be there. Sorry. I'm sorry. Brother Brandon, I can show you a quote where he said, these women with the high heel shoes, he said, I had a vision. He said they try to climb the ladder to get to heaven. He said they won't make it. They fall off. Get rid of them. I'm going to try and enforce it with my own kids one time. One of my daughters bought a $75 pair of shoes. Heel was too high. I went in and I took my saw and I cut the heels off. She didn't like it. You know what? I didn't like it. She's representing my ministry. She's my daughter. It's a $75, what you call it, lesson. I don't care if it was $150. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. That's it. From harvest time. Jesus said that they might be one, Father, as you and I are one. Not for some manner to be over something. It never will work. One denomination wants to take over the other, one man over the other, but that you might be one with God, like Christ and God was one. That's what the prayer is. He was the Word, and Jesus prayed that he might be the Word reflecting him. That's his prayer to be answered. See how Satan scruples it up in the carnal mind? But that wasn't Jesus' prayer at all, that we might be all congregate together and all have a certain creed and so forth. Every time they do that, they go further and further from God. He wants us to be one with God, and God is the Word. Each individual in his heart must be that one with God. You know, I think I've said enough this morning. If you feel I've been too hard, I'll forgive you. I'm not asking forgiveness for being too hard. I'm your shepherd. But I'll forgive you for having the wrong spirit, taking it wrong. We could be going home in the next 2 months. I don't know. God knows. Could be another year. I don't know. God knows. But I doubt very much that it'll go beyond this spring or next. Absolutely. Everything, the handwriting is on the wall. The economy, when it goes, you'll see everything go at that time. The nations are already against nation. They've been vying for positions. This president we have is going to war with Russia. He wants it. He's done everything he can to push it. As Putin said, hey, we're only in two countries, our country and those and Ukraine, which borders our country. He said, you're in 138 countries. He said, we spend $500 billion a year on our military. He said, you spend four times that amount. Our country is going around starting all of these caliphates. We had no business in Libya, no business in Yemen, no business in Syria. What other country have we despised? No business in Afghanistan, no business in Egypt. Yeah, no business in Egypt, and no business with Saddam Hussein. Saddam Hussein kept it so that the Christians could have their churches. He went pretty hard on I don't know if it was the Shiites or whatever group it was, but he was pretty hard and kept those radical Islam in check. And so then we get government-sponsored little things saying, oh, but he grinds his opposition into tree grinders. Oh, isn't that awful? Yeah, what's more awful? Grinding an evil person into a pulp? Or sending your drones to do the same with little children. Now, he didn't target little children and women. The American government targets them all. And they say, well, that's just, what do they call it? You know, it's part of, huh? Yeah, collateral damage. That's just, thanks, Steve. That's just collateral. Oh, it's not a person. Oh, it's just collateral damage, like, you know. Maybe the house got blown up. Well, what about the people in it? This government targets doctors. Here we have doctors without hands, international doctors. They sent a drone to put a bomb right in their tent. Factories. Just bomb the factory. Based on what? Well, we want to show power. You're going to answer for it. This nation is going to answer for it. The nation. You say, well, I didn't do it, the president did it. Listen, you're a part of that put him into office. Well, I didn't vote for him. Better pray to you. But this nation, with its ungodliness, it's not a Christian nation by any means. It's not a Christian nation. It may have been at one time, but certainly it is not today. It's an ungodly nation. And it's going to be burned. And Russia has said just recently, they made statements that they're going to do it. They've got generals that said they're going to do it. Putin said now, what's the word that they use? It's, when you talk about clear and present danger, he said, the United States is a clear and present danger to Russia. What does that mean? That's war talk. It was prophesied in 1933 it's going to happen. It will happen. That's power has in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your love. Help us, Lord, to be so in love with you that before we put on a piece of clothing, we ask ourselves, would this please you? Before we talk to our husband or talk to our wife, we say, Father, you said, whatsoever we do to the least of these, my children, you've done it unto me. Father, I know that I'm angry right now, but Father, that's your daughter. That's your son. How can I handle this, Father? I'm without words. I don't know what to do. Oh, I know, Father. Your prophet told us that when those things come in, the Holy Spirit takes his flight. Okay, I'm going to take my flight. Help us to learn and teach your children to walk away from conflict. Not to take on conflict and overpower the person, but help us to learn to walk away. That's what a real son of God will do. Help us, O God. Jesus, many times, they wanted to have conflict with him. They grabbed a hold of him. They tried to take him and throw him over the cliff. He just walked right through him. He just walked away. He didn't stay around to hear all the fussing. He just walked away from them. Until it was that time where he had to die for us. And then he died to himself first. Help us, Father, to sanctify ourselves, that we might sanctify others. Help us to teach our children what the Holy Ghost, how the Holy Ghost would act, so that they might know that the things that they're taught, they'll never depart. Help us, Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.